Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly, Mutant Crawl Classics goes to retail.
Oh.
So their retail release. Yeah, I guess they were just on the website or the Kickstarter before. Yeah. Maybe limited, you know, limited retail. D&D themed restaurant.
Okay. Why not?
World of Darkness digital tool set.
Okay.
Street Fighter tabletop RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And the Indie Cornucopia 9
from
Humble Bundle. Or not, I'm sorry, for a bundle of holding.
Yeah, Humble Bundle is the books.
Yes.
Bundle of Holding is the games.
Yes.
That are also sometimes books.
Yeah, sometimes. All right. Well, let's start with the release. So this is from a Kickstarter, a 2017 Kickstarter. I think it was filled around that time. But the Mutant Crawl Classics is kind of the sci-fi version of Dungeon Crawl. Classics by Goodman Games. And starting this month, December, they will now have the... a soft cover book and a limited hardcover book, which they're calling the Mutant Astronaut Edition, available through probably Amazon and everywhere else. So maybe they were just limiting, they were just limiting sales and everything until they, produced enough or had enough done for retail. But this month officially everything goes out. You can get access to that. So the soft cover is $24.99 suggested retail, and Doug Kovacs did the cover, and the Mutant Astronaut Edition is $60. So it might be pretty they've done some nice limited stuff before, and like foil and all kinds of nice covers.
It's a hardback book and
and
I've not read Mutant Crawl Classics. I know it's based on Dungeon Crawl Classics, which I think I had a digital copy of.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 200-ish.
Oh yeah, it's a good
book,
size,
right? It's a good size book.
Yeah,
so.
And it's nice. It's well, a lot of nice, thematic kind of retro illustrations, and really well designed. Like the tables and everything are really well designed and easy to read. And it's completely compatible with Dungeon Crawl Classics, so you can actually just turn things into sci-fi. You use caves and different things, and just make them tweak them a little bit to make them more post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, I was going to say my well was kind of like, I think I'm not sure what's in Mutant Crawl Classics. I imagine it's kind of a bit like Gamma World.
Mm-hmm, right.
That's but I mean, you think about like early D&D modules. I mean,
yeah,
or even early. You want to be technical? Early science fiction, right? There was no distinction between science fiction and fantasy.
That's
so. I mean, it's like come on, Thundar the Barbarian, all that stuff. You just, I mean, hell, like, even Conan kind of technically had an alien,
right?
I mean, the Elephant's Tower, right?
That's, yeah.
Not, it's kind of an alien kind of thing. So I would imagine Mutant Crawl Classics would be backwards compatible with Dungeon Crawl Classics.
Right. Yeah, because they're using the same basic rule set, just like the same with Gamma World. Yeah, same basic rule set. So I'm sure people did that same sort of thing. Yeah,
the original Gamma World, first edition, was very different from
D&D. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, I mean, there were similarities, but you couldn't mix them. Right,
right.
Using the more recent edition of Gamma World that was based on 4th edition that had a whole bunch of cards you put together.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, that was a real turnoff when they did the kind of blind packs of cards. It's like, I don't want to collect cards to play.
But of course you do. You're a nerd. That means you want to collect stuff.
Open those packs. Yeah, that's the only way I'm satisfied. So take a look if you're interested in that game and been kind of reluctant because maybe shipping is not, great or whatever from the websites it was available on. Now you can get it anywhere books are sold.
Yep, mine Jeff Bezos' pocket.
get that nice 40% cut to Amazon. Nice. And we also have news. So this isn't, we've got a little while yet, so I'm sure there'll be other news developing as we're discussing this, but in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, as if these poor people have not been through enough, Griffin and Gargoyle, the Griffin and Gargoyle Project announced that they will be building a D&D-inspired, so maybe they're going to try to go around the any sort of Wizards of the Coast licensing
this
or whatever.
This is Bigby's crushing hand. This is Bugby's crushing hand, right?
Yes. So they're opening in spring of 2024 a restaurant that will feature an experience for fans of fantasy properties. And so they're listing not only D&D, but, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, all that kind of stuff.
Right, because...
Yeah.
Right. Because all fantasy is the same, right?
That's right. Yeah. Exactly the same. Yeah. So the the restaurant will feature the Griffin and Gargoyle Tavern, the Curated Curiosities, and the Gnome Alchemist. So the other interesting thing that they said is there will be cast members, similar to Disneyland, where people will be assuming roles. So your tavern keepers and alchemists and everything will be in costume and in character the whole time. So you can have interesting conversations with the employees. And I'm sure that that will be nice and fun to the training for that job. I'm sure will be amazing.
I've never been because they were kind of far away from where I lived in the States. But I've always wanted to go to medieval times.
Oh, right.
Right? Kind of the jousting kind of themed dinner thing. Like, that sounds fun. That sounds cool. This kind of sounds similar. I'm rolling my eyes because if they say D&D themed, I immediately am turned off. Who knows, right? Maybe they'll do something great. I'm kind of skeptical where we're like, yeah, D&D, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Warhammer Fantasy. Let's just all mash it together because, like, some of those things don't fit.
Yeah,
it sounds a bit scattershot. I mean, what are you going to do? Sit in the back corner with some Strider-esque character with your red and yellow striped Harry Potter scarf drinking some, you know, butter beer ale, whatever. Like, that doesn't match, right? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, so we'll see. I think they're just kind of spreading the net as wide as possible. And hopefully, maybe they're hoping that things pick up and that the museum actually starts functioning. And
is this attached to the...
It's not connected at all. Okay. But, you know, it'll be like, it will become the Orlando, Florida of gaming.
So you're hoping all the D&D nerds are going to go to the Mecca of D&D.
Yeah, when they get hungry, where are they going to eat?
Griffin and Gargoyle, of course, yeah.
Right. So a little rundown. The curated curiosities, of course, will be their retail space, specializing in handicraft, artifacts, accessories, and clothing. Yikes. Okay. Yeah. The Gnome Alchemist is an artificer-themed bar, which serves, you know, a bunch of dry ice-infused cocktails, bubbling and smoke effects. You know,
because when I think artificer, I mean, you couldn't be a potion person,
yeah.
Right? When I think artificer, I think clockwork, booze.
Yeah,
right.
So they're trying to imitate the experience, the Star Trek experience in Las Vegas. Yeah, the bar that was there. And conveniently located near this drinking establishment will be Huck's Axe Throwing. So I don't know how alcohol and axe throwing are
axe throwing
a good combination.
First, please.
Yeah, right.
Then go drink it up.
Yeah, so yeah, they're trying to give us a, you know, kind of vivid picture of how nice this is going to go. But I don't know, and I don't know any of their previous projects or anything.
Yeah,
I don't know, like, who, because they didn't say in this little press release
what else they've done.
Who else was involved and like where the funding. So hopefully nobody that's involved in the previous debacles of TSR and museums and things is involved. This is just somebody that's saying, well, this is, you know, the home of, and let's do something thematic. If people do want to travel here for, you know, any reason.
I was going to ask, did they stick their foot firmly in their mouth in regards to inclusivity in this press release anywhere? Because that would be a sure sign that new TSR is involved.
Right. Yeah, no, they didn't at all. It's pretty limited to just the kind of tantalizing details of the attractions of the restaurant.
I would kind of hope that the NPC cast members only have like a set script.
Right.
That's a bit video game-esque, but I think it would be hilarious if there's only like
and they
set
just
phrases
repeat
like,
the
and
same
just repeat
line.
Them.
That
yeah.
would be great. Yeah.
Or every time someone new walks in, you're like, hello, welcome to, or like pull up a chair, right? Kind of thing. And like mid-conversation, they got to turn.
Yeah, so we'll see if this actually happens, and if anybody, you know, complains or gets involved and says, hey, you know, you're stepping on our licensed toes. So yeah, we'll see where that goes. So poor Lake Geneva, they continue to endure
the legacy of Gygax.
Yes. So similar to what we talked about with Pathfinder Second Edition, World of Darkness now is partnering with Demiplane to create their own digital toolset. So in the same way, it's going to be named World of Darkness Nexus and have the probably that, you know, it's just going to be a similar backend or similar platform. And yeah, so in just in time for kind of, you know, fifth edition just came out, Vampire the Masquerade fifth edition. Right. So good timing. And if it's the same, because I think they previously talked about Demiplane has one of the developers for D&D Beyond.
Okay. Yep.
So they know what they're doing. I took a look at just the front page. I didn't like sign up for any pre-order or anything, so I didn't get any details or see what anything really looked like. But it's decently put together. The website, it doesn't look like a ripoff or like right. But we don't know. That's the frustrating thing with digital tool sets is I have this book. I spent $40. I have to spend $40 again for the digital version. But but if they're developing tools specifically for, you know, a game and they're involving the actual designers, you know, it could be good. I mean, that's what it should be. It shouldn't be all this like kind of random third party, because everybody has a different idea of the quality of assets they would use. So like Roll20 has that problem a lot, or some of the other, you know, it's a real like, oh, these are amazing. This package is not great. And, you know,
because they were made by different people.
Yeah. There's a lot of people.
That does have a benefit, right? I mean, there is, like we were talking earlier before the cast, there's a benefit to opening that up to the public, or at least different people, right? Mm-hmm. Like a whole selection of assets at different price points, and it's going to be different quality, and some are going to be better than others. I think that's maybe a little better, at least idea-wise, than saying, no, only certain people.
That's
true.
Yeah. Because that'll drive the price up really high. Mm. You know, but you want to have some sort of quality assurance some of that stuff. Because a few of the things that I've seen for Astral, the virtual tabletop, not just real half-assed. I mean, it's got the content, you know, from the books in it or from the adventures in it, but the actual like art assets and things, it's just like the lowest possible effort kind of stuff. Mm. So that can be a little disappointing or a little rough, but
especially if you're paying like $40 for it, especially if you feel like I got to buy the book again and it's
right.
It's good, yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully they have a good, and each game is going to have a different kind of tolerance. Like I think people will have more tolerance for cartoony or cutesy, you know, assets when they're not playing World of Darkness. I don't think there's going to be too many chibi little pawns and things for this. But yeah, so it's a similar thing. It'll be coming out next year. They're anticipating it. And so a couple of quotes. There's really nothing like World of Darkness. The rich lore and unique feel of the setting leads to such compelling characters that you want to find out what happens next. So Anna Bradford, the chief developer of Demiplane, said, World of Darkness will allow players to engage with those characters in new ways and make preparing and telling great stories together more convenient than ever. And as we've seen, because of lockdown, the kind of limitations of travel, virtual tabletops and online tools have been really useful. And some people, I think, are starting to really lean into them and prefer them because, you know, it's the kind of experience they want to have, especially if they came from like PC RPGs. Sure. It's like, oh, this is just a conversation over a digital, board. And then the Sean Greeny of the brand manager for World of Darkness said, our partnership with Demiplane signals a new era for World of Darkness and storytellers, with less bookkeeping so that they can get more fun, they can get to the fun parts of role-playing faster. World of Darkness Nexus assembles all of the official content in a convenient, accessible way, whether they are new to World of Darkness or have been playing for decades. So yeah, we'll see how they handle this. So the same way they're doing they're going to do an early access next year, so you get to kind of see things. And hopefully there'll be a cheap way to just kind of test it out and see if it's going to work and how reliable it is. Because not only is it the quality of the assets, the price you're going to pay, but connectivity issues and stuff. Like their web coding has to allow people to connect easily. And especially when you're playing kind of all over the world.
Time zones,
It can get a little dicey. I've had some refresh issues.
That pun was intended.
A little dicey. Yes. So, so we'll see. And this is going to be two pretty, you know, major game systems that are going to be using the same. Yeah.
Not the biggest, but certainly big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so who knows? Hopefully this is a good choice for both of them, and it's not going to slow them down. Because if this is a misstep, especially for Pathfinder 2nd Edition, it's going to put them further and further behind.
So?
If this is a bad platform, like if people don't adopt it, it's like, no thanks, I'll stick with Roll20. And then they're putting all of their kind of efforts into developing for this, and if it's not compatible with Roll20, if they can't release stuff simultaneously, it might be a little... it might slow them down a little bit as far as the virtual tabletop space. But speaking of the storyteller system, mm-hmm. I saw this review a while ago, and I kept wanting to talk about it. And since we were talking about World of Darkness, I figured, hey, why not? So once upon a time, there was a licensed Street Fighter TTRPG.
Yeah.
And it was based on the Vampire the Masquerade system, the World of Darkness storyteller system.
I have no idea. I know this exists. I have not looked at it. I have no idea how you would do that.
I know. Yeah, the explanation in the review was pretty fine. So it is a modified version of the storyteller system. And so at the time, you know, White Wolf had big success with Vampire, Werewolf the Apocalypse, Mage the Ascension.
So Street the Fighter?
They put a colon in there. And so all based on the storyteller system. And so, and the thing that I think that was compelling about that the system at the time is skills were, it was lower numbers that you're dealing with. Right. You're rolling D10s for successes, you know, similar to like the Year Zero engine right. that we're doing with D6s now. And so less math and just you're counting successes. So that was appealing to people. But adapting it for Street Fighter, so they kept the physical, mental, and social attributes mm-hmm. and then had to kind of go beyond because the characters are not just humans. They're kind of beyond. So you're basically starting with stats that would be like an elder vampire or something because, you know, usually the 5 was the max yep. for humans. So you're going to go up above that for certain abilities and feats. They added special moves. So each character and they statted out the characters from the role playing game. So basically it was the Street Fighter 2 lore. Okay. They didn't go beyond that roster. So there's combo attack maneuvers, and they used kind of a new system of combat cards. So you're basically playing cards for attacks, which makes it kind of more tactical because I guess you have to commit to something and somebody else. So maybe a little rock, paper, scissors. Right. I've seen that done with board games that are simulating kind of a 2D fighter, 2D fighting game.
Yeah, so it's in addition to playing the rules, you're also kind of playing your opponent where like get kind of
yes.
trying to anticipate what they would do or yeah.
Right, yeah. So they always go defensive, so yeah, I'll do this. And it used a hex grid, which okay. gives you a little bit of, you know, it's not the 2D. Mm. There's a lot more there's a lot more sides to a hex. And so yeah, that was an interesting choice. So the cards were for various classes. They sold packs of cards for various okay. classes. So depending on what character you wanted to play.
I wonder how you divide those characters into classes.
Yeah, I know. You know,
well, unless you kind of go like offensive, defensive, speed, or something, right?
Yeah, so it's interesting. And I wonder how much, like beyond the license, if Capcom just said, yeah, here, you can use the right. characters, or if they, you
had
know,
a hand in
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, actually gave them some design documents or things and let them like, okay, we'll break it up this way, or this is what was intended. Yeah, or if they just knew the game, if they were like fans of the game. But often that's Ooh. Not the case. It's often yeah. They're just like dealing with a license that somebody said, this is really popular, let's do this.
Yeah, use this. Yeah, yeah.
And so we've seen it in recent times, you know, Dragon Age, The Witcher, Fallout, mm-hmm. Dishonored, these are all, you know, video games, basically, some PC games, some console games, that are now tabletop RPGs because the world is rich enough that right. people are like, I want to play in this world, so let's, you know, find a system or whatever to do that.
That's why I'm having, okay, I play Street Fighter 2. As a kid, because, mm-hmm. okay, every Saturday going to art class, we'd eat pizza at this place, and there was the arcade, right? There was the arcade. There was the one game in this pizza place. And they're like, okay. And not that I got good at it, but I enjoyed it, right? It's a fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
There's lore, there's background.
But, yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, it's kind of there despite rather than
yes,
because yeah. of, right? So, right. I'm not a video gamer, but, like, I know basically what kind of the story is going on in like The Witcher or Fallout. Like there's a world, things
yeah,
are happening.
Right.
understand how there's room to explore this world, right? I don't see that for Street Fighter. Like how many boards were there in Street Fighter 2? Like, okay, where are we now? I'm trying to remember, like, the cage where Vega fought, right?
right
okay,
right.
Or now we're at,
or
like...
The public bath, the onsen, where the... Honda,
yeah. Honda. Okay, now, are those the only places you can go? I'm sure there's much more to this game. I cannot picture what it would be, right? And why do you give them a social stat? Why do you just punch people, right? I don't know.
Yeah, so I wonder, because, yeah, you're right, the backstory is, like, you know, you play kind of a narrative if you played through, you know, if you beat everybody, you got little pieces of the story. Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, you killed my father. Prepare to die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that's all you got. Yeah. So who are you matched up against? What dialogue does that spawn, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But the storyteller, the game master can have fun just, like, naming, like, Japan. Like, you know. When you, yeah.
Like, is that what the storyteller does?
That's all he does. It's like, okay, now we're in China.
Yeah.
Like, oh, cool. All right. What does that mean? Yeah, or maybe you can, you know, all the NPCs are the people with the, like, one.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
One little cycle of animation in the background. You can talk to them. There's a rich world going on behind the fights.
And yeah.
Yeah, so it's an oddity. And, of course, it's completely out of print now.
Oh, yeah,
that, you know, they don't have that license anymore. And I don't think anyone sees that as, oh, a perfect fit for tabletop.
You know, who knows? I might open, like, I'll never get a copy of it, right? But if I did get a copy, I might open it and go, oh, there's some amazing stuff in there, right?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, it's funny. That's a really funny choice. And you know, that's, I think, we'll always have those trends. And we may see more of that now because, you know, we're seeing a lot of it where they're kind of digging, both board games and RPGs are kind of digging through, well, what IPs, what properties are popular now? Because then we can sell, you know, sell games, we can sell our system.
I wonder if that, I mean, I'm sure that's what it was, right? Like, this thing's popular. We can afford to license it.
Yeah, right, right.
Let's do it.
So. Yeah, and especially when they don't, you know, they don't really know that market. I'm sure Capcom was like, what? Okay, sure.
It's money.
Yeah, yeah, right. Write the check out, too.
As long as you don't do anything that makes the game look bad, we'll take your money.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm curious. And I think that happened a lot, though, because going through, like, you know, the auction sites and stuff in Japan, there's some really funny RPGs based on anime and stuff that you're just like, how? What? You know, yeah.
Why?
So a lot of...
Well, the answer to why is Japan.
Yeah, yeah, right. So, maybe the popularity of D&D or Call of Cthulhu in, like, the 90s or whatever inspired a lot of, you know, studios to try to license.
Oh, I'm sure it did. Yeah.
License familiar.
I haven't watched all of it, and I'm dating myself here. When I did watch anime, because I can't stand it now, it was Record of Lodoss War, which was what, inspired by someone's D&D
someone's D&D
campaign.
You're right. Yeah, there were a couple of manga that were definitely done by D&D players where they, you know, they put the D&D monsters in there, not telling TSR anything about that.
Well,
and
I think as long as you kind of didn't name it,
right.
Whatever.
And if they couldn't read the, you know, katakana,
actually, that's pretty funny. I mean, like, we're getting into language here. My Japanese is terrible, but. Based on how sometimes wildly different the katakana
sound
of something is from the English sound,
it's a
different monster.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
This is a beholderu.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Not a beholder. Distinctly different, right?
Yeah, and I don't think it would come up. I mean, the person that would go after you is the licensor of Dungeons and Dragons in Japan. Like, I don't think TSR, Wizards of the Coast at the time, would have paid much attention
not,
at all. Yeah, and then maybe that's why Japan got a little bit of that reputation, too, of just kind of like, you know, ripping stuff off and including their favorite things in their stories. But because, like, you know, like Ken from Fist of the North Star is basically Mel Gibson.
Oh, really?
Looks exactly like...
Oh, does Ken of the North Star go on an anti-Semitic rant,
too? He does. That's why he's got all that. Never mind.
Yeah.
But if you're not interested at all in games based on popular IPs, then we've got a bundle of holding for you.
Nice transition.
So the Indie Cornucopia number 9, so I've done this 9 times, has a really nice selection of indie RPGs that if you don't have any of these, this is a good opportunity to kind of pick them up for a cheaper price. So Ironsworn Delve and Ultraviolet Grasslands are the two big featured. So to get the kind of their basic level, $12.95 will get you Delve, which is the kind of dungeon exploring version. So this is the not free version. So so Ironsworn, the basic rules are free digitally. And this is the not free version done by Sean Tompkins that will... Exploration in a Powered by the Apocalypse fantasy game. Impulse Drive by Adrian Thone. Yeah, Adrian. It's also Powered by the Apocalypse, and it's a science fiction by way of, like, Mass Effect or Star Wars. Cool. Opera House is this under the basic level. Takes place in the Royal Grand Opera House, the largest, most prestigious theater in the whole city of Pavilion. So it's a kind of intrigue and sabotage and supernatural threats. But
so the opera's going to pop out.
Yes, exactly. That's all you got. You got of the opera, everything of the opera. And so if you level up to the next, their threshold price of 26 currently, five additional titles. So Against the Dark Master by Open Ended Games, Ultraviolet Grasslands by WTF Studio. So a system-like campaign of psychedelic weirdness. Mm. And then Electric Bastion Land by Chris McDowell. So recently, he just kind of redid his Into the Odd working with Free League and getting that kind of all kind of tweaked and laid out. And Johan, the illustrator for all the Mjölkborg stuff, did his design. It looks really gorgeous. But this is the newer game that kind of took the focus originally off of Into the Odd, but the designer found out people are still really enjoying that older game, so that's why it got a refresh and re-release. So refugees from hundreds of failed careers seek treasure in the only city that matters, in Electric Bastion Land. And then in this level up, you get two more ship playbooks for Impulse Drive.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, I'll put a link to that. And if any of that sounds compelling or if you wanted to try any of those games out, it's a really good way to get a nice big selection of indie games. Based on any popular IP.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that Ironsworn's free, because to use Delve, Ironsworn Delve, you need the original Ironsworn. It's free rules.
Right? Yeah, and so you're getting the digital copy here. So yeah, you can just pick up the digital core rules. Nice.
Cool. And I just realized that WTF.
Yes.
Is Wizard Thief Fighter, but also
Perfect. Yes. Yeah, I've never seen the name of the studio before, so I thought that was funny. I keep seeing that game on Exalted Funeral, the website.
Ultraviolet Grasslands.
They did a nice bundle, because I think in the Kickstarter they did a bunch of like crazy psychedelic custom dice and stuff. So those were available in a bundle for the kind of holiday and immediately sold out. Uh-huh. Yeah. So no dice. Literally.
Yeah.
Anyhow. So that's it. Yeah, for this week. So cool. Where can people find you?
On Twitter, as always, where, funny enough, mentioning all that Street Fighter stuff, I'm doing pixel art.
Oh, nice.
So for some reason, just off the top of my head, I decided Itch has a category called game assets that I've never looked at. Let's look at it. Whoa. Okay, look at all this. I mean, okay, Itch is primarily for video games, like indie video games. So there's a lot of sprite sets and music things and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I kind of went, oh, pixel art's pretty cool. Let's look at that. Like, well, there's a lot of pixel art stuff. And even though it's designed for things like RPG Maker or other animation things where it gives you, I'm like, they come as PNGs.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
I've spent a bit too much money.
Probably, oh, no.
Because of the Black Friday sale, like buying up a bunch of like sprite sets and PNGs and just like ripping them open and turning them into pixel art stuff.
Nice. Oh, so, yeah, that would be great. A nice way, especially if you did, like some kind of like, cyber dungeon or technology to do like, pixel art for everything. Because then, you'd have assets you could mix and match and do some really nice.
It's been kind of, I've been posting about spamming Twitter with my pictures, but it's been kind of hard because to print stuff, you obviously want 300 DPI. So it's, the pixels don't match up exactly because it's like, okay, let's convert this to 300 DPI, but let's retain those hard chunky edges and let's blow it up by 125. But anyway, so that's getting a bit technical, but yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Oh, fun.
Recently.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Cool.
Oh, very nice.
How about you?
So I do a weekly single panel gag cartoon. So Abuse Cartoons, if you want to watch me draw that. And, just kind of interact. And I also bring like wacky stuff from Japanese convenience stores and stuff. So there's lots of fun interaction as I draw cartoons.
You
so
also don't eat into the mic, though.
I don't. Yes. Yeah. I try very desperately to not sound too disgusting. Yeah, there was a couple of things, especially when I was doing it here, when I was streaming from here, a couple of things that I ate that were just like, that's ASMR. Let's not do that. That's a little too much, but so Abuse Cartoons, and if you want to read the cartoon itself, the full archive of that is on gocomics.com/domesticabuse. And if you want to support the weekly, upturntable.com is the website where that lives, so that you can have access to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast from there. We're basically on every platform, the audio version. And if you want to hear the audio from this live stream on an RSS, the Patreon will give you that. So the Patreon RSS gives you the weekly full version, like everything we've talked about.
All the outtakes.
Yeah, and then just the regular podcast is just from when we say hello and goodbye. So basically just when Chris is here. So cut off the talking to chat and everything. But that's always a fun part at the end. So yeah, so patreon.com/upturntable. And yeah, become a weekling and let us know that you're enjoying the weekly.
Or not enjoying it.
Or not enjoying it. Nice. Yeah, give us some feedback. And on the table is a hint, a suggestion of what might be included in the Upturn Table Christmas card this year, which we'll post onto the YouTube channel.
Cool.
But yeah, we'll see how that goes. So busily editing at this point.
Nice.
But yeah, so that's it for this week.
Cool.
We'll see you next week.
Later, mortals.
Goodbye.